Well, shall we open the Bibles again to the 9th chapter of the Gospel of John, and notice the first verse. And as Jesus passed by, he saw a man which was blind from his birth. And his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, Neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh when no man can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. When he had thus spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay, or spittle, and he anointed the eyes of him, of the blind man, with the clay. Now we'll stop our reading right there for a few moments, and comment on these scriptures that we have before us. You know, it's a wonderful portion of God's Word to see the miracles that the Lord Jesus Christ performed. Many times when you look at these miracles, we know that the Lord Jesus Christ did not blow a trumpet first before he performed a miracle. And we mentioned one time before when we were looking at one of the other miracles in the Gospel of John, how so many times today people, if they're going to have a miracle, they make a great scene and they tell us that a miracle is going to happen, and then we're disappointed because no miracle happens. But you know, the Lord Jesus Christ just performed a miracle right before the eyes of the individual. But you know, in the 8th chapter, we notice the Lord Jesus Christ was bringing forth to his disciples and to others that were around him that he and his Father were one. And of course, they didn't like this. In the last verse of the 8th chapter, the 59th verse, it says, Then took they up stones to cast at him. But Jesus hid himself and went out of the temple, going through the midst of them, and so passed by. And notice the first words of the 9th chapter and the first verse, And as Jesus passed by. You know, in the 8th chapter, the Lord Jesus Christ had told them that he was before Abraham. They didn't like these words. They didn't like the words of the Lord Jesus Christ that he spoke to them. And he was accused of testifying of himself. But he brought up in that 8th chapter about how their law themselves that they had said that two testified to a thing. It was truth. You had to have two witnesses. And he said his Father testified of him, and he testified of himself. And of course, we also notice that the Spirit of God testified of the Lord Jesus Christ. So there's really three that testify of the Savior. And I always think, when I think of the testimony of the Lord Jesus Christ, I think of a preacher one time that was preaching the gospel. And one that was an atheist, one who did not believe in God, wanted to debate this one. And he was really giving the preacher a hard time when he was trying to preach the gospel on the street corner. And the preacher just simply kept on preaching the word. Finally, this atheist said to the preacher, he said, Now look, he says, I'll tell you what, I would like to challenge you in what you believe in the Word of God and prove that there's no God, and you prove that there is a God. And so the preacher says, Well, I'll take you up on that. I'll debate you on this question. And, of course, the atheist was very encouraged by the preacher doing this to him. He says, But there's under a certain condition that I want. He says, Now, I'm going to bring 50 men at our debate. And I want you to bring 50 men at the debate. And these 50 men and women that I'm going to bring, they're going to tell you what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them. They're going to bring a testimony of what the Lord Jesus Christ has done for them. He says, I'm going to go down to the bar, down to the very lowest place, down to the slums of the city, and get these men that have been converted to the Lord Jesus Christ, and they're going to be with me. 50 of them. And he said, Now I want you to bring 50 atheists that how you have helped these men from being drunkards and dope addicts and all the rest. And I want you to bring those 50 that haven't believed in God, your converts, to being an atheist. And I want you to bring their life and to show what you have given to these people. And of course, the atheist just had to drop his head. He said, I can't do that. He had nothing to show for his message on believing that there's no God. But the one that did believe in God and proclaimed that there is a God knew that the Lord Jesus Christ would come into the hearts of men and women and make them a new creature in Christ Jesus. And that's exactly what we find in our lesson. They didn't believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the Lord Jesus Christ, as they picked up stones to cast at him, he just walked out of their midst. He just walked by. Beloved, he could have been a blessing to all of those people, those religious leaders, but they wouldn't accept his word. And that's exactly what the Word of God tells us, that the world is going to be condemned because they love not the word, they love not the truth of the word. They wouldn't obey the word of God. They wouldn't receive the word of God. And so the Lord Jesus Christ passed by. And you know, even in our life, we see the Savior passing by so many people. It isn't that he couldn't be a help to them, but they don't want the help. They don't want to believe in his word. They don't want to believe in what he has said in his precious word and that he has given to the world. They reject the Lord Jesus Christ and what he stands for. And so he just simply bypasses them. He just passes by. And they don't realize that it's been the Son of God who could have given them eternal life. But they don't realize what they have missed. You know, the world has not seen a couple things. One of the things that the world does not see is that the world is getting worse and worse day by day. Some would like us to believe that it's getting better, but they don't realize that the Word of God has simply said that this earth is reserved for fire and for damnation and for judgment. But a lot of people think that this could be a better place to live, and they're trying to make the world a better place to live. And sometimes when you make a statement like I just made, people think you are against trying to help to make the world a better place. But I don't think it's our position in this life to do this as Christians. Our place in life, since we've had our eyes opened up, is pointing individuals to the Lord Jesus Christ and the judgment that is to come. A lot of people don't realize that there's judgment coming upon this world. I was speaking at Tina's school this last week, and I mentioned to the boys and girls as we were meditating there at the chapel service of how close judgment is. And even we had on television the other day, the day after, a couple Sundays ago, they had this, and of course the news before, a lot of people didn't think it should be shown on television, that we shouldn't bring the world to the place of showing what a disaster it would be if it would be an atomic war. And of course there were those that were for the film and those that were against the film, and a lot of people said, oh, this is just going to upset the world, and a lot of people thought that Washington was going to have thousands and thousands of people march on it because of the hatred of this war and the atomic warfare and so on, and they just thought that the world would almost be torn apart if they showed that film. But you know, I didn't look at the film, for I was preaching that Sunday in Winston-Salem. But I knew what was going to happen anyway, so it wasn't necessary for me to look at some film that was just make-believe, trying to bring out how disastrous it would be if we were in atomic war, and so on. And so I didn't have to look at it because my Bible told me that what it was going to be like at the very end time, how the earth was going to be reserved for fire and damnation and judgment because man had polluted the world and rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, I didn't need to see the film, but a lot of people were wondering what would happen. Well, the world did the same thing that they've been doing for the last 1900 years after they saw it. Now, no doubt ABC thought that they would really stir up the people against nuclear war, but you know what it did? It did absolutely nothing. Oh, it's a few people still demonstrating against nuclear war, and none of us want nuclear war. But you see, really deep down in our heart, even though that film tried to portray to the world how terrible war would be, still people did not believe it. They weren't even concerned about it. Not many people have mentioned it. My wife was telling me the other day, I think you're the only one that's mentioning me the day after. Nobody else seems to be concerned about it. Why is it? Well, beloved, I believe it's another sign that God has given to the world. The reason I think that the Lord allowed ABC to put out that film, not that it's a godly film, but allowed them to do it and allow the scientists and allow these people to march up and down the land and warn the people that if we have a nuclear war, how terrible it will be, is to speak once again at the end time to the world. But the world is doing just like they did when preachers used to preach about hellfire and damnation. You know, it was the preachers that were always called the doomsday prophets, they would say. They would say to me sometimes as a young fellow, are you one of those doomsday prophets? That doomsday is coming and God's going to judge the earth. And then they'd laugh. And I'd smile at them and I'd take it right on the chin and I'd say, yes, I'm one of the doomsday prophets. I believe that God is going to judge this world. And they'd inform me, "Don't you know, young fella, that this world is getting better and better? And we've gotten so much better since the Second World War that we're now ready for a nuclear war, ready to destroy everybody. Have we gotten better? No, we've gotten worse." And that's exactly what the Word of God says, but the world doesn't see it, and they're not concerned about it. They're blinded to the fact that there's a war coming. But I don't believe it's just going to be that God's going to allow a nuclear war. Although, as I mentioned to the students the other day as I spoke at school, I said, you know, it says in the book of Revelation that one-third of the crops is going to be destroyed. One-third of the crops in the sea is going to be destroyed. One-third of the moon and the stars and the sun is going to not shine. It's going to be one-third darkness over the entire earth. One-third of the earth is going to be destroyed when God allows that star to come from heaven and destroy the earth. One-third of it's going to be destroyed. But man is not thinking of this. They think maybe in the atomic bomb, maybe God will use it. But beloved, I'll tell you this, one-third of the earth is going to be destroyed. Crops, fish, and everything else. The water. It's coming. But does it affect the people of today? No. They are not any more interested in it today than they were when I was a child and listening to preachers bring out hell and damnation and judgment. People are not concerned. ABC thought that they could concern the people. Well, I could have told them, you're not going to concern the people too much. For preachers used to be fair to the Word of God and tell of the judgment to come. But the people didn't pay any attention to preachers. They didn't pay any attention to the Word of God. And why does ABC think that they've got a market that they can bring out the truth that God's going to destroy this earth? Although they didn't say God, they said man would destroy it. Man would bring in this great thing if we don't stop these nuclear wars. Well, beloved, God told them at the very end time that he would bring in destruction. Let's turn to 2 Peter for a verse of scripture, and I'll get right into the message, but I want to tie this in to the blindness of the world. We're talking about a blind man. Well, how blind is the world this morning? How blind are we as individuals that are saved by the blood of Christ? I think even the believer themselves is so asleep that we're just like the five wise virgins and the five foolish. We're asleep at the switch. We don't realize in which hour we are living. We are living in tremendous days, the days of the last days of the period of mankind. For we realize even if the Lord Jesus Christ would come this morning, the earth would only last 1,007 years. It would be about 6.5 years of tribulation, and then 1,000 years with the reign of Christ on earth, and then Satan loses a little season, and then God destroys this earth in which we are living. Now notice that's what Peter brings out here in 2 Peter 3 and verse 6 down to verse 9. It says, whereby the world that was being overflowed with water perished, but the heavens and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store. They're kept, beloved. This world is kept. Nobody's going to destroy it until God destroys it. Remember, God said in his words, vengeance is mine. So many times you hear a terrible crime and we say, boy, if that would happen to my family or somebody would do that to my wife or my daughter, I'd go out and kill him. I wouldn't wait for the law to get him. But we have to remember the verse of Scripture. God says, vengeance is mine. And we had a terrible thing happen in Sanford, and a lot of people said, oh, if I could get my hands on that man, what he did to that little girl, I would strangle him, I'd string him up, I wouldn't wait for the law to get him. Well, beloved, I have to remind him of the Scripture. God said, vengeance is mine. Even if the Sanford people, if the jury that finally has him before them, if they allow it to be held in Sanford, where the crime was committed, they'll probably put it out of our city because of the tempers rising so high and so mighty against the individual, they'll probably put it in some other court. Probably they'll bring it here to Siler City and get a jury or some other city to try the man, that he'll get a fair trial. Because the emotions are so high, some people would like to ruin the man, destroy him, torture him like he did this little girl that he did at 3 o'clock in the afternoon in our city. Now, beloved, God says vengeance is mine. Even though the jury might find the man and let him go, even if he gets off from his crime, he isn't finished. Because God says, I will get even with that man. My judgment will be on him. And I said to somebody, I said, have you ever thought of how hot and how long hell is? I said, he maybe tortured the girl for a few moments, maybe an hour or so. But I said, what will he go through for all eternity? Beloved, hell is a long thing. And God says his judgment will reign. And a person might get by down here on earth, but he won't get by with the courts of heaven. They'll find him guilty. But notice what it says in that sixth verse. whereby the world that then was being overflowed with water perished, but the heaven and the earth which are now by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly man. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is longsuffering to us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Beloved, the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. He said that these things would happen. And what I'm trying to point out this morning, the world doesn't realize that this world is kept in store for judgment. And God's going to judge it. And the people are walking up and down with signs today, and a reason I believe that we have these people doing it, trying to draw attention, I believe God has even moved in the hearts of some men who might not be Christians, might not have anything to do with the Lord, might be atheists as far as their belief goes in God, but they want to preserve the world, and God is allowing them to walk up and down our nation with banners and signs where preachers used to do it. But the preachers have shut their mouth and are not warning the populace anymore of the coming judgment. So God is raising up people that aren't even saved to warn them. Why? Because it's such a frightful thing. That's why I believe, and once again this last week we saw even floods again and tornadoes and earthquakes. God is speaking, and nobody's listening. Nobody's listening. And God is passing by. And the people of the world are going to the lake of fire, and they don't realize that God's passing by. Jesus Christ passed by the religious leaders. Beloved, I believe today Jesus Christ has bypassed the religious leaders and says, you won't warn the world, so I'll use the ungodly to warn the world. The saints aren't speaking up, so God is touching others to speak up. Why? Because we're allowing the Lord to pass by. He passed by. But you notice in the next scripture it says, and as Jesus passed by, here he's passing by again. He's left this multitude that's ready to pick up stones and stone him. That's what a lot of religious people would do today if Jesus was here. They don't want Jesus to come. It would upset the curtain of what they're doing. It would upset all of their life plan. He would want them to live holy lives. And a lot of times people don't want to live holy lives. I was reading this morning before the Lord's Supper started. It says, be ye holy, for I am holy. And I just had to think for a moment how God's holiness is so great. And he asked his people to be holy. That's one thing that they did not like about the Lord Jesus Christ in the 8th chapter of John. Because he was holy and they were unholy. And his holiness spoke to their unholiness and convicted them of sin. But they didn't get rid of their sin. They rather take the stones up and throw at him and kill him. Do away with holiness that we might live our life. And beloved, this is the scene that we get in the world this morning, is everybody says, I want to do my thing, don't bother me. Let me have my pleasure, let me do my thing, let me have a little bit of religion to flavor my life, that I might be called a respectable person, but don't get me down to the place where I have to live out and out life for Jesus Christ. But this is what he wants us to do, is to live out and out for him. Notice what it says in this verse, and as Jesus passed by, he saw a man. Beloved, isn't it a wonderful thing that God is still seeing people that are in need? Here is a man that's blind from birth. He's been born into the world blind. And of course, right away, it brings up a discussion about with his disciples about this man. Notice what it says. But his disciples asked him, saying, Master, who did sin, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Now, the first part is a very silly question. He was born blind. They asked, who did sin, this man or his parents? Now, how in the world could he have sinned if he was born blind? Were they believing like India believes, that maybe he was a little bug before, or some cow, or something else, and he had sinned being a cow or some animal? Reincarnation, is that what they're trying to suggest? No, they didn't believe in that. Well, what a silly question it is then. He was born this way. He hadn't sinned yet. He hadn't sinned. Now, how in the world could we ask a question, Lord, did this man sin? He was born this way. Was it his sin? Well, he hadn't committed any sin yet. He was born that way. He was born into the world a sinner by his parents' sin, but not his own. And then they said, or his parents' sin. Was it his parents? Or his parents that he was born by? Was it their sin? Now, that would maybe be a good question. Lord, is it because of their parents that this man is born blind?
Turn the tape over, please. Thank you.
Children that are born blind today, sometimes because of a venereal disease. And it is brought on because of a parent's sin. God says in His Word, He has passed on judgment in the Old Testament to the third and the fourth generation of the parent's sin. And sometimes we call this hereditary. We have gotten something, some kind of disease, because of our former parents that have sinned and brought it upon us. And God said, I'm going to visit their iniquities to the third and the fourth generation. Sometimes we don't like to bring these things up, but it's still true. Sometimes a parent has to look at a child and say, that child is the way it is because of my sin. I knew a man that was converted and was a preacher. And he had a little child there in Indiana, and his little child was a pitiful thing. It was because of a venereal disease. The preacher had committed a gross sin and gotten venereal disease. And when they had children, the child wasn't born right. And they suffered with that child. And he says, every time I look at that child, I think of my sin. He said, it's my fault that that child is that way. And the Lord Jesus Christ brought him to Himself and showed him his great sin that he had committed. He didn't care too much about the punishment that he was having on his own body, but he did care when he looked at that little child. And he says, every time I go into that room, I think, oh God, my sin, what a foolish sin I committed. And now, look what I brought into the world. A child like this. Well, beloved, this is what the people are concerned with. Was it his parents' sin? Well, the Lord Jesus Christ answers them in the third verse. Jesus answered, neither hath this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God should be made manifest in him. God did it for a purpose. Is He a cruel God? Why did He do such a thing to a little child? And some people would say, well, the reason a child is born blind is because of Satan. Never give that credit to Satan. Satan had nothing to do with it. It's all of God. You might say, well, I don't believe God would do such a thing as that. Well, let's look at the Word of God and see what God says about it in Exodus, the fourth chapter. The Exodus, the fourth chapter, God brings out and brings the blame on Himself. He doesn't blame Satan. He doesn't blame anybody else. He blames Himself. God isn't afraid to take responsibility. He says in the fourth chapter of the book of Exodus, He's starting to talk to Moses. Maybe we should read the tenth verse. And Moses said unto the Lord, O Lord, I am not eloquent, neither hitherfore nor since Thou hast spoken unto Thy servant, but I am slow of speech and of a slow tongue. In other words, he probably stuttered. And the Lord said unto him, who hath made man's mouth? Or who maketh the dumb, or deaf, or the seeing, or the blind? Hath not I the Lord? Who is it that makes the dumb child? Who is it that makes the deaf? Who is it that makes the seeing? And who is it that makes the blind? The Lord says, have not I the Lord? The Lord does this. Now we say, why did He do it? Beloved, in this scripture we see that the Lord Jesus Christ did it because He might magnify the Lord God of heaven. There was going to be a great miracle to take place. A miracle that the world had never seen before or would never see again. Jesus Christ was going to take one that was born blind and bring back his sight. All people would say, well, this has never been heard of before. In the Old Testament, you didn't hear the prophets doing it. But the Lord God was doing this for a reason, that it might glorify the Lord Jesus Christ. Who did He say He was in the 8th chapter? I am the light of the world. I am, as He brings out in the Word of John. I am the light of the world. He was the one that would shine into the world, but the world didn't see Him. That's why in the first chapter of John, we notice that He's called, John says, I bear witness of the light. I am not the light, but I bear witness of the light. I'm sent to bear witness of the light. He's the light of the world, but they didn't see the light. He said, I am sent of my Father, but they didn't like that. You notice when in that 8th chapter, they didn't like the words of the Lord Jesus Christ. They didn't believe his word. Well, again, the Lord Jesus shows his great miracle that he's going to perform. He's proving to his unbelievers that he is God manifested in the flesh. God says, don't believe me, Jesus Christ said, don't believe me, but believe my words. If you don't want to believe my words, just look at my words. And if I don't do the works of God, don't believe me. Did he do the works of God? Absolutely, he did the works of God. And here is one of the works of God that he's going to do. He's going to take a man that was born blind and give him sight. Notice the scriptures that we have in the 4th verse. I must work the works of him that sent me. Again, he said, I'm doing my Father's will. He's doing his work. I must work the works of him that sent me while it is day. The night cometh where no man can work. Beloved, you can't work in the dark. You have to have light. Now, we in our generation have had electric lights put upon us, and we can work at night. But you know, there was a time when men had to cease their work. When the Lord Jesus Christ was on earth, they didn't work at night. They didn't have their tractors out at night plowing the field. Not long ago, I was going down the road, and it was late at night. It was well after 9 o'clock at night. I was coming back from some meeting somewhere. I don't remember where I was even coming from. I think it was when I was coming back from Alabama. Anyway, it was night. And as I was driving down the highway, I noticed off in the field these lights. And I said, what in the world is a car doing out there? But then I noticed that the lights were a little bit higher than a car, and I said, well, it must be a truck. And then I noticed some other lights. Well, you know what they were doing? They were working at night. They were harvesting at night, and they had the lights on the tractor, and he was going down into the field doing his work at night. I guess they were behind in their harvest, and there they had lights on the other vehicles behind him, and there they had it all lit up there, just like daytime. Well, they were working, and it was night, but it was artificial light. Beloved, the Lord Jesus Christ said, a man can't work but during the day. At night, it's too dark to work. You don't tear down a car in the middle of the night without having some kind of a light. Now, in the army, we were taught to take down our weapon in the dark. Sometimes they say to us, we're going to have a M1 inspection, and it's going to be at night. And at night? How are you going to inspect a rifle at night? We're going to see how well you can take apart your rifle. And it make us take that rifle down and turn all the lights out, and they say, take your rifle down and put it back together. And we take that thing down and we put it back together. And sometimes they blindfold us and say, put it back together. You fellas that were in the service, you know that you had to learn your weapon that well. Why did they do it? Because, beloved, we were going to be out in the battlefield at night. And when the enemy was out there, we wouldn't be able to strike a match to see where that bolt goes into the action to the rifle. We had to do it by feel. We had to do it like a blind man. We'd put that thing together so it would shoot, because there would be a time when we'd maybe fall down in water and that rifle would get water in it and mud in it. And we'd have to take it apart quickly to save our life and clean it all up in the dark. We wouldn't take a flashlight or a light. We had to do it by feel. We had to know it that well. Well, beloved, here we notice the Lord Jesus Christ said, you can't do the work except during the day. There's going to be a time when there's night, no man can work. But there was light when he was on earth, because he was the light of the world. But he said it's going to come to a time when the world is going to be in darkness. And that's the time in which we live. And that's why the Lord Jesus Christ said, ye are the lights of the world. He sent us forth to bear witness of the light. The light was in the world, but they put out the light. But when they put out the light, it scattered the light. And we have lights all over giving a testimony in this dark world of the coming judgment of the Lord Jesus Christ. But notice in the 5th verse it says, as long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. You notice that? As long as I'm in the world, I'm the light of the world. And then in the 6th verse it says, and he has spoken, he spat on the ground and made clay of spittle and anointed the eyes of him, of the blind man, with the clay. Now you notice the Lord Jesus Christ makes the clay and anoints the eyes of this blind man. I want us to notice a verse of scripture in the same chapter, the 32nd verse. It says, since the world began, was it not heard that any man opened the eyes of one that was born blind? It was never heard. And here the Lord Jesus Christ spit on the ground, and he made clay, and he anointed those eyes. Maybe he made the eye socket, maybe he made the eyeball, and he put it in there. And there the man came forth to see. But beloved, you know, he was sent to the pool of Siloam. the pool where animals were washed. Now, a lot of people would say this wasn't a very nice way to heal a man. We have to do things so nicely today. Everything has to be just perfect. And in time, we want everything just right. It has to be the right air condition, or the people won't come. It has to be the right heat, or the people won't come. It has to be the right comfortable seat that we sit in, or they won't come. We have to make everything comfortable for people. But you know, these things weren't right as far as a person was concerned. They said, my, look at him, how terrible it is. He's spitting in front of everybody. The only ones we usually see spit is ball players. You always see them spitting. And he spit on the ground, and he made some clay. And they thought, what in the world is he doing? And he made something of clay, and he anointed the eyes. Maybe he made that eyeball, and he put it up there. And then he said, go and wash. Go and wash. You know, he still couldn't see. He still couldn't see. He had to go and do what the Lord told him. Go and wash in the pool of Siloam. Hey, wait, Lord, can I go somewhere else? That pool of Siloam is where they wash all those animals that they're giving for sacrifice. And it might be a lot of germs down there. After all, you've anointed his eyes might get some kind of germ if he washes his face in that place. No, go and wash in the pool of Siloam. That was the place to go and wash. Not at Bethesda. Not at the pool of Bethesda, the pool of Siloam, because that's where the Lord told him to go. If he would have gone somewhere else, he wouldn't have been cleansed. He wouldn't have had his eyesight. And beloved, it's the same thing the Word of God tells us today. Come to the Lord Jesus Christ and we'll be saved. We can try everything else. We can try church membership. We can try shaking a preacher's hand. We can try joining all kinds of different organizations and churches, but that won't save us. We have to come the way the Lord Jesus Christ said, come. He said, come to me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Come to me and I'll forgive your sins. And that's exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ wants to do for every one of us. He wants us to simply come and trust Him. This blind man had to trust the Lord Jesus Christ. And we of this earth have to do the same thing. We have to trust the Savior. We have to come just like we are to the Lord Jesus Christ and only trust Him, because He's the one that can forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Well, it's 12 o'clock. I'm not finished, but I'll stop. But I want us to sing in closing a hymn. I'll only trust Him this morning. Only trust Him. And as I was just thinking of this blind man that had his eyes opened up, wouldn't it be a wonderful thing this morning if there was somebody here in this first Sunday of December would have their eyes opened up spiritually and have them anointed by the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, you know, I don't think that blind man minded at all that the Lord Jesus Christ stood on the ground and made a little ball with that spit and anointed his eyes and put it on him. And then told him to go wash in the pool of Siloam, though it wasn't a very pretty pool to wash in. I don't think he was concerned about that whatsoever. The only thing that he was concerned about is, I'd like to see. I'd like to see. But you know, you don't find in that scripture that the man sought the Lord. The Lord sought the man. The Lord was bypassing the man, but then he saw him and he stopped. Here is one that needs help, and he healed him. Beloved, maybe the Lord is passing you by today, and he stopped in front of you and says, I want to help you, friend. I want to open your eyes. I want you to come to the Son of God. I want you to trust Him this morning. And you can trust Him right where you sit by asking Him into your heart and life. Shall we bow in a word of prayer before we sing? Father, we just pray, if there's one here without Christ this morning, that that person might have their eyes opened up, that they might see for the first time that Jesus Christ, the one of Calvary, died for them, that they might not go into perdition, that they might not go into the lake of fire, but they might be saved. Open the eyes of the blind, that they might see. And bless us during this invitation. Him we do ask. In Jesus' name, amen. Could we sing number 354? And if there's somebody here who would like to slip out of your seats and come to Christ, why don't you do it as we sing the first and the last stanza. The first and the last stanza, 354. Shall we stand as we sing? Come every soul, my sin, oh friend, there's mercy with hope, and He will surely be my God. Oh, the God, He will save you. Father, again, we thank Thee for Thy Word. We just pray if there's one soul here that needs to be saved, that this morning they might speak to us after the service is over, and that they might say, I'd like to see what it is to be saved. I don't understand it, but I'd like to be saved. I'd like to know more about it. May we take God's Word and show them how they can be saved. And Father, we just pray that Thou would bless us and watch over us as we go our separate ways this morning. And we just pray that God the Spirit might waken us up that are Christians. In what hour we live in, that judgment is coming, and the world is not aware of what's happening. Oh, Father, we pray that the Lord Jesus Christ might not pass anyone by here this morning, but that person might stop and receive the Lord Jesus Christ into their heart and life. We ask in Thy Son's precious and worthy name. Amen.